Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. We have all kinds of phrases that we use with one another. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. Not really. So we have phrases that we use with one another. Now, if you are in a very difficult situation, in fact, you're terrified, you're shocked, you're in disbelief, you cannot believe what has happened right in front of you, someone might say to you, don't freak out. Don't melt down. Chill. Calm down. So in this gospel, that is what's going on. Jesus is looking at their terrified faces. They cannot believe who is standing in front of them. And he says, don't freak out. Peace. It's me. And he shows them who he is. In this gospel from Luke, it's the third time that we have a resurrection appearance. So we have early in the 24th chapter that the women have come to the tomb, the stone is rolled away, they're freaking out at that, they look in, and there's no Jesus. They tell the disciples. Peter comes over, he's freaking out, he looks in, there's no Jesus. So on this particular resurrection day, we then have in Luke that two men are walking to Emmaus. And these men had been with Jesus. They heard him, they touched him, they saw the amazing miracles and healings that he had done. They witnessed the absolute unconditional love he seemed to have for everyone. This Jesus was such a good man, they were beginning to suspect there was more than meets the eye. And Jesus, of course, had been trying to help them understand that. So on this particular day, they're walking, it's Sunday, they saw Jesus die on Friday. And they're walking along, and they're still talking about it. How could you not? So they're talking about it, and Jesus walks up. They don't notice who he is. He says, what's going on? They start telling him. They go back and forth. They pour their hearts out. Jesus says, tell me more. They keep talking. They arrive at a place, and they sit down, and they hand Jesus some bread, and he breaks it. And they went, oh, it's him. So now we have this account, and these two men have gone over and told the rest of the disciples about the experience they just had. And so this gospel opens in the upper room, probably behind locked doors, with these people having told the rest what they had experienced. And yet, they're still terrified. They still don't know what's going on. What is going on? And all of a sudden, Jesus is in front of them. And the exchange, even with his voice and him saying, it's me, they're still looking at him. And so what does he say? Do you have something I could eat? And so they look around and hand him a fish. So in this particular gospel from Luke, Luke is really going the extra mile to help all of us sense who the risen Jesus is. And Luke says, he's not a ghost, people. He's not a ghost. And so Jesus probably finishes eating the fish and they haven't touched a bite. So here Jesus was in this locked room. What Jesus did, he entered their fear. Where their fear was, Jesus went there. That's what Jesus, the risen Jesus, continues to do today. Where is your fear? What do you have locked up? What is locked up? Is it a fear from the past? Something that happened and you don't want to think of that again? That was way too painful. And you can't process what really happened. Or is it a fear for the future? Please, doctor, I never want to hear the C word. I do not want to hear the word cancer. Or is it, how am I going to die? What is my death going to be like? Do you have a fear over wondering? Or do you have a fear over a friend or a loved one who is approaching death? And it's scary. Do you have a fear that's financial? Is this going to last, what I have? Am I going to be able to make it on what I've been putting aside? Do you have a fear about loneliness? Do you have a fear about loss? Whatever the fear, that is what Jesus entered and continues to enter with us. So Jesus entered this fear, and they began to probably lighten up. And so in that moment, Jesus begins to say to them, remember what I was telling you before all this happened. And I bet one or two of them said, duh. Or did that happen with Pentecost when the Spirit came and all of a sudden it really made sense? And then they felt His Spirit and stepped out of their fear and began to talk about the risen Jesus. So Jesus opens their minds. They begin to say, yes, He's putting the pieces together. And then He says to them, and He says to us, you are my witnesses. So, a couple years ago, there was this little article that I found, and it began, the only Bible which millions of people read today is the daily example of Christians. They don't open a book. They look at people who say they are Christian, your example and mine. They can only know the hope of the resurrection if we become witnesses to the resurrection. Someone else said, you are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. People read what you write, if it's false or if it's true. Now, what is this gospel according to you? We are witnesses by how we act, what we say, what we do. We are witnesses to the risen Jesus. How does our spirit convey that presence and that power to the world? Do we act differently? So what is it to be a witness? I'd like to bring up one of our parishioners. Johnny McIntyre is only 93 years old. But she decided this year, in fact, she wanted to discern it with me, if it was okay for her to retire from what she had started 17 years ago, which was Designs for Dining, which is the outreach event that raises money for people to get educated college scholarships, and they're not in our parish. I said 17 years ago. So Johnny McIntyre had this inspiration when she was only 76. And she said she wrestled with it. And what first began to stir within her was hearing that a very, very, very wealthy man had gone to a classroom in Los Angeles and said to the seventh graders, if you stay on track and you apply to a college and get admitted, I will pay for all of your college education. And this man said it to this entire seventh grade class. And 90% of those kids were accepted into a four-year college, and he paid their whole way. So Johnny said, well, if I win the lottery, I can do that. But of course, I never buy a lottery ticket, so that's not going to be it. So she kept having this feeling, and eventually, one night at a Lenten series, she turned to Sally Hill and said, I can't do something by myself. But the church can. The family of God, us, we can do something. So 17 years ago began the St. Francis Outreach Scholarship Fund. And Johnny got several people to become a board, and Dick Briggs wrote a charter, and 17 years later, we have put many students through college because someone had an idea, had an inspiration. And we have all kinds of outreach. How did all of these outreach programs start? Every one of them is a story that began with one of our parishioners who felt an inspiration and carried it through the power of the risen Jesus. That's where our power comes from. And we also have inreach. Look at all the people who serve here within our parish. The ushers, the sound, the choir, the altar servers. And look at the people, not even in this room, who are serving the smallest members of our parish in Sunday school. All of them, I imagine, didn't give Jesus an immediate yes, but might have argued, well, you know, not really. I don't think I have the time. But somehow, I look out here and almost everyone is involved in some ministry in our parish that began with a seed of transformation, and that is the resurrection. The resurrection is about Jesus planting seeds of transformation that began in the upper room with men who had so much fear they locked the door. And Jesus went into those fears, planted seeds of transformation, and here we are today. So how do we become seeds of transformation? I have one more example that's beyond our parish. And all of you know of 9/11, and all of you know thousands lost their loved ones, and two women who became widows that day were among many who the United States, people all over our country, you know, began to respond to those in New York who needed help. And so these two widows received a lot of financial help. They were a part of us responding. We needed to do something to respond to 9/11. And these two women became friends and discovered they had more money than they ever needed. We had been so generous at 9/11. So they became aware that widows in Afghanistan who aren't as secure as women here who are widows in the United States, once you're a widow in Afghanistan, you're even lower on the pecking order. So these two women started a foundation called Beyond the 11th. And they sent money to help women who were widows in Afghanistan and then went there to meet them. Those are seeds of transformation. That is how God works in these mysterious ways. So how are you becoming a witness? How are you being a witness? How are you aware that the seeds of transformation have been planted in us personally, in us as a parish, that change and transformation and becoming all that we're meant to be is the resurrection experience, isn't it? Becoming all that we're meant to be. So I pray that each of us believes that the risen Lord can reach within your own heart. And if you are afraid, listen. Jesus is saying to you, peace, calm down, chill. I am with you. Let's do it together. Amen.